from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Love it for those guys. Again, I think Tua said this not too long ago, the market is the market. And it doesn't matter. I mean, the APY and the this and that and the cash flow. And there's so many different ways that you can look at a contract. Yeah. Some may look really good on paper. Some may actually not be that great when you actually get into the details. But I'm all for guys getting paid. This is a league where, you know, it's the NFL not for long. Everybody's been saying that since, you know, I was a rookie. You know, you gotta appreciate your time in this league and understand when to strike. And for quarterbacks, you know, when your time's up, it's your time to get a deal. So I'm just happy that guys are getting paid, because again, that's generational wealth for them and their families. And we all play the same game, and we're kind of a fraternity here in the NFL. So I'm very happy for all those guys.
Josh Allen from training camp with Kay Adams. She asked him about the Tua deal. Maybe the Jordan Love deal. That was the same day, basically. Those two deals came down the same time. Allen, of course, not by APY, one of the higher-paid quarterbacks in the NFL. But I feel like we're all waiting for the day when he just is again. Yep, just new contract, ripped up, started over. Maybe that's next year. See how that factors in on the cap. I'm sure the Bills are... It's kind of like an IOU. I'm good for it.
Yeah.
We'll get you done.
What is he... AAV's not the way to do it, but what is he by AAV? Like 12th?
Yeah.
What will he be next year? Is anyone else getting paid?
Stroud is not going to get paid yet.
Nope. Is everyone done?
Pretty much everybody's done.
Everybody that was going to get paid got paid. Jordan Love got paid. Tua got paid. Yeah. Dak.
Dak is right. Dak's going to get 60. Probably.
And maybe Purdy?
Purdy's going to get paid. That's the other one, yes.
Okay, so those two.
Purdy.
Those
one of the reasons the Niners are trading Ayuk, they did draft two wide receivers. They drafted Ricky Parasol and Jacob Cowing. They spent a first on a receiver, which maybe should have been an indication that they were ready to move on from Brandon Ayuk. They have paid, the Niners, McCaffrey, Kittle, Trent Williams.
Debo.
The Niners have paid a lot of... In fact,
Bosa.
I saw a thing on them that sounds like it's not possible... That the 49ers have, they're the only team in football that has a top 10 defense and top 10 offense in money spent. They're spending money on everything.
This is where I don't understand.
And yet
I told you earlier, they have the most cap space in football right now.
Right.
None of it makes sense. What? How are all three of those things possible?
It's wild.
Top 10 money spent on offense, top 10 money spent on defense, and Spotrac has them as the most cap space. Something's off. Yeah. So I don't understand something.
So Mike Reese, ESPN, has today... that the Niners are willing to listen to trade offers for Brandon Ayuk, have given him permission to negotiate a contract with other teams. The 49ers did not have the same willingness to listen to trade offers at the start of training camp. This represents a significant change. Patriots and Browns have been in contact. The Steelers, barring a change, are out. Now, framework is in place for the Patriots and the Browns. Other teams, in theory, could jump in right here, right? Now that they're, hey, yeah, we're open for business.
Did you see Andrew Filippone's tweet on this last night? His take, and he's in Pittsburgh, so he's probably trying to will this into existence for the Steelers. He said his opinion on that report is that the Niners are trying to publicly pressure Ayuk into accepting a deal to one of those two teams because they have the two best offers. Does that mean, could this reporting, because remember, the big news maybe in all the reporting, more than even the teams, is that the Niners have changed their tune. The Niners, that was part of the Mike Reese report from 10 minutes ago, that start of training camp, they were not really willing to listen.
And now they're willing to listen.
And now they are. So the change is on the 49ers end. So are they putting it out there, hey, Cleveland or New England, because those are the teams that have offered the most money, or have offered them the most, and they want Ayuk to take one of those two deals.
Why would they care which?
Okay. You know what I mean? Is it necessarily have to be true? Ayuk wants to play for Cleveland or New England. Is it more the Niners want him to choose one of those two teams because they've offered the Niners the most?
Right, and you're saying the takeaway there is that the Niners are trying to pressure the Steelers
right
into offering more.
I think that's what Filippone's trying to say. Is like, okay, Pittsburgh's not out of it. Ayuk might still want to play for Pittsburgh, and the Niners don't like the Steelers' offer.
Right.
And this is all flexing. This is all the Niners telling Pittsburgh, hey, you better up your offer because right, we're putting it out there, you're out. You're not even in this anymore.
Right. I suppose that's possible. The report earlier in the season was they wanted to trade him to Jacksonville.
Right.
For Zay Jones and a first.
Yes. Notice one common thread in all three of these reported offers. They all include a wide receiver. The report from Maiocco last night was Amari Cooper would be in the Browns deal.
Or Kendrick Bourne in the Patriots
Bourne
deal.
Kendrick Bourne in the Patriots. Zay Jones in the Jaguars deal.
Yep.
Is that a problem with Pittsburgh's? Are the Niners set on we need to get a receiver back? And right, who's Pittsburgh sending back?
They're not sending Pickens.
And
Roman Wilson.
They maybe should have hung on to Deontay Johnson.
Right. Calvin Austin.
No, right?
Right. The Steelers are not exactly flush at that position. Who would they send back? I mean, Kendrick Bourne isn't exactly somebody crazy good. Van Jefferson.
Right.
No, Pittsburgh doesn't have a receiver really to send back that would rate. Not that Kendrick Bourne really does, especially off an injury, right?
No, he has been there, though, before, so maybe the Niners would value him more than others because
okay. He's
already been in their offense. Also, there's always been good numbers on him, right?
Maybe.
That makes it like separation stuff. Maybe he's better than we think.
Well, thinking about this, they're taking offers, and this is another way where the Bills, like, what are the Bills, what could they offer? What could they give? We know the Niners don't really want Keon Coleman. They passed on him.
Right.
Yep. The Niners picked Ricky Pearsall between the Chiefs and where the Bills picked.
Yep.
So, I mean, whatever. They probably want Coleman to a degree, and I don't think the Bills are going to trade Keon Coleman. That'd be nuts. He's like their second most popular player right now. Shakir? No.
No?
Again, what can you offer? If you're trying to say, hey, could the Bills get this done? Do they have a receiver to send like Amari Cooper, Kendrick Bourne,
well,
or
Curtis Samuel? Right?
Curtis Samuel and what? Like a first?
And a first.
One thing
Isn't that a close equivalent of what Jacksonville offered, or maybe what? I don't know about these Cleveland, New England offers. Are these first round picks plus these receivers? Probably.
Might be. I guess, you know what? We might as well kick around as a halfway to let's get stupid. I don't think the Bills are going to do this here. What would you do? What could they do? We might have 24 hours to talk about this, and then he's traded on a new team. I mean, the Bills have their own first. I would trade that for him. Hmm. They have 2 seconds. I would trade those for him. Not a first and 2 seconds, but
nope.
I mean, I would 100% do it. I don't know how the Bills could do it unless they send somebody back the other way that clears up, they need $14 million in cap space? How much they need? 10?
I think they need 14, and they currently have like 8.5.
Okay, so they need to clear up $6 million in space,
yep,
and then sign him to a big extension. Everyone can gasp about receiver contracts are out of control, even though it's totally in line with the entire league and salaries going up because the rising tide lifts all boats. I'm excited for Ayuk to get $31 million and everyone to freak out. It's totally a right deal for him. He's very good. I don't think the Bills will do it. But if they were going to do it, a first and – I would give up a first and what? I just don't think the receivers are what
– I know. But, like
– because if he's on this team, who's off this team? Is Brandon Ayuk taking Tyrell Shaver's spot?
Sure.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
Like depth chart. You can love Samuel, Coleman, and Shakir. And if you had Ayuk on top of that, that receiver room kind of mirrors what they had back when they had Diggs, Davis, Brown, Beasley. Mm-hmm. It's not that far off of it. Now they're running a different offense, and they're going to be a different team. So I still don't think this is likely. And we'll just see how this plays out with this group this year, if you want to call it a gamble or whatever it is.
I agree. Like I think it's not likely. I think most of the cap guys out there, the Mike Gianittis of the world, every time I see an IU question, it's for the Bills. It's not impossible. It's very hard, which makes it seem like not going to happen because it's really hard. You can do it. And I will also say there have been multiple times in the past where the Bills have made a move and I was surprised because, oh, I didn't think they could do it. Remember when they signed Matt Milano? What was it, Milano or was it Oliver? There have been a couple contracts where they've paid guys like, oh, I did not think they had that. I didn't think they had that money. Where'd that come from? They're just like, these GMs just know the cap 10 times better than we do, and they magically come up with $8 million in cap space out of thin air that we didn't know was possible.
Von Miller was in a free agency cycle where the Bills said, don't expect much.
Right. And they found $120 million to give Von Miller.
Right.
So I'm just saying, like, I don't think they have this cap space, and there are others that don't either, but they magically sometimes will come up with it. If you got to that magically come up with it, and the Niners want a first-round pick and a receiver – like, and by the way, if they traded Curtis Samuel, it'd free up almost $2 million in space. The Browns are about to maybe trade Amari Cooper a minute after giving him a new contract. So, I know he just got here, but Ayuk is definitively a better football player, right? Would that stop you? Would that stop them? You're getting your number one receiver. If that's the price to be paid and you think you can come up with the money,
right.
And you know a receiver's got to come off anyway, need the spot on the field, why not Curtis Samuel? I love Curtis Samuel, but I'm just saying, he wouldn't stop me from not doing this.
If I could get to on that point, a hypothetical here, if we could know it. Here's one, if you want to chew on this, 803-0550 to join us. We'd love to hear from you. The Niners' tune has changed. See, this is reporting and what we find out versus what the GMs know, right? Did Brandon Bean, if he wanted Ayuk back in March,
yeah,
before Diggs is traded, and they start to think about Diggs getting, you know what? Maybe we'll do the thing on Diggs. Maybe we'll take that deal from Houston. Think we can get Ayuk? Are the Niners representing that they're open to it, or are they still, we're not going to trade this guy? Because if you don't think you can get him, how would you attack the offseason? You'd attack how the Bills did. We're going to add some cagey pieces,
mm-hmm.
You know, $8 million for Samuel. We'll get one in the draft. There's a ton of them in the draft. We'll find our way to one, so much so we can trade down and still take one that we like.
You wouldn't have committed $2 million to MVS if you thought you might need to create some space coming up too, probably, right?
Right, right. Yeah. There's a good example too. Like if you thought that guy is someone we cannot get, then you go ahead and have your offseason. And then after the fact, turns out he was available. Well, all right, well. We went ahead and made our plans, so
right.
That ship has sailed. And the question, I guess, is if you could go back in time, would you do it differently? If you're Bean, and part of my answer here is he might have known all along that Ayuk was available and just decided, like, we're not going to do that. I'm not going to do that right now. I'm not going to commit $30 million to Diggs to not be on the team and then another huge contract to Ayuk right away. Granted, they get that cap hit way down with an extension. I just wonder, you don't always know who's available. You know how this works. It's not exactly the same, but I'd imagine the NFL works the same way. This trade is very public, so it's not like it's happening in the middle of the night.
Right.
But that has happened before, where in your fantasy league or in the NHL or in the NFL, you wake up to a trade and other GMs would probably say, like, what?
Mm-hmm.
That guy was available?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that. In this example, that is not the case. Everybody knows right now Ayuk's available. Did they all know it back in March? Because if the Bills knew it in March,
yeah,
maybe they have a different offseason.
Well, or is this reporting right that Mike Reese has that the Niners were kind of close to it as of 3 weeks ago?
Were they close to it 3 weeks ago, or were they going to trade him to Jacksonville for a first and Zay Jones? Because that was that
right,
was before
that was
the draft
out there too.
Like
yeah,
that
yeah
was out there too.
Yep. You might even have thought if you're Bean or you're another GM, like go ahead and make your plans, because how often when a situation like this happens, where Brandon Ayuk wants a new contract, you know, star receiver in the league that's trying to figure out his money with his current team, how often does that guy actually get available, become available to you? How often do you think you can actually get your hands on that guy? Because a lot of that can be flexing, right? A lot of that can just be, well, the guy just ends up where he was. And if you decide, hey, we're going to not do this and not do this because we want to wait and see if we can eventually do this, you got to make a bet. How likely are you to arrive at the point where I can actually acquire the player because it's gone so sour with his current team that now they're looking at trading him?
Right. Otherwise, you're left with nobody because you waited too long for your only plan.
Right. It's a long shot bet, probably.
Probably.
Right?
And this gets to where they will be next year, because right now, cap jail, whatever, cap purgatory, cap something. They're in the cap dentist's office. There's some place they don't want to be for very long, and they're not going to be there for very long because, you know, they're still fielding a competitive team, and they're going to be good next year. But if this were 1 year from now, and they had all the space they needed, wouldn't we be saying, like, yeah, let's go.
Mm-hmm.
Let's load up. You have Josh Allen's prime, and let's keep things rolling here. So it is interesting to think about if they had known this back in March that the Niners would be open to it again, or did they already know it and decided to just make the plan that they made? 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. I'm just really waiting. We need a good solid mystery team report.
Yeah.
It's time for a mystery team.
The Commanders have removed themselves from trade talks for Ayuk, by the way. That was also part of the report.
Because he wanted to go maybe play with Jaden Daniels.
Yep.
They played in college together, which still is incredible.
And they were like posting their like film stuff on TikTok or whatnot. Mystery team. I mean, there would probably be some GMs that wake up this morning and see this and think, okay, he's actually available now, right? Does every GM in the league know what's happening with every player at all times?
No, not at all.
So is it impossible that a Brandon Bean or another GM in the league would wake up this morning, see this reporting, and then go, oh, he's available, call him, and then you start the dialogue?
It's possible.
Yeah, it's possible.
Is it impossible that we see an NFC team linked here? I mean, is it any coincidence we've got three AFC teams?
You don't think it's going to be one of those, or you think it's going to be one of those, like, we're not going to trade him in the conference?
Yeah. I mean, all three teams are AFC teams. Washington saying they're taking themselves out of it. I haven't seen them reported in it.
Yeah. Man, if New England doesn't get this done, they are. You went all the way back to the Diggs trade.
They tried to get Calvin Ridley.
They tried to, in the draft, they tried to, Evan Lazar told us on the Extra Point Show, they tried to trade up with the Bills into the first round, and the Bills took the Carolina offer instead. So I don't even know if they got the rookie they wanted.
For Leggett.
In the draft. Right, for Leggett. So New England, man, for 5 years, it feels like they are desperately trying to land a receiver, and time after time after time, yeah, they can't get it done. I feel like if they trade for Ayuk, I feel like you're gonna be a New England stan between your Drake May love and then Brandon Ayuk.
I just think Drake May has the potential to be pretty good, and I also have some dynasty Ayuk, which I'm following this very intently.
I don't think if you have dynasty Ayuk that you want him going to either of the two teams that are being talked
about
right now.
That's probably correct. I don't want him to go to Pittsburgh either.
What's the for your fantasy Ayuk share? What's the number one team you want him to go to?
Buffalo.
Okay. Sorry, that was
easy question. Yes.
Buffalo.
Even though
he would be a top five receiver in fantasy.
Even though everybody eats, you know, stud receiver, stud quarterback, I tend to like those combos.
All right, yeah.
Outside of that, like, where could he go that would make sense?
There hasn't been a single team reference that has, like, a great quarterback. Even if I go back to Pittsburgh and Washington being referenced, like, I've got Justin Fields or Russell Wilson, Jaden Daniels as a rookie, Drake May as a rookie, well, and Deshaun Watson, who's probably shot.
Let's go through the great quarterbacks and the weapons that they have. Who you want to include here? I mean, Tua's weapons are set. He's not a great quarterback. But go through the other teams that might want to add a true number one. There aren't that many. I mean, Kansas City,
yeah.
You could say, why aren't the Chiefs in on this? The Chiefs just paid Hollywood Brown a little bit and drafted one in the first round. The Chiefs have spent like 3 first and second round picks the last couple of years. They have a full stable.
They've already had Rashee Rice, too.
Rashee Rice had 100 catches last year.
Yep.
So the Chiefs are not exactly in some dire straits at receiver right now.
The Texans made their move.
The Texans
already
are flush at receiver. The Bengals are flush at receiver. Who else? Jacksonville has spent tons of money on receiver.
Oh, yeah, they're full.
They're full.
Brian Thomas, Gabe Davis, Christian Kirk.
Tennessee is completely stocked at receiver. The Jets added Mike Williams to Garrett Wilson. They're set to some degree. Like, I'm not saying everybody is great here.
Yeah.
But if you're, you know who needs this is the Chargers. The Chargers need this more than anything. They have nothing.
Yeah. They have a rookie. They have their Keon Coleman, and that's it.
The Chargers need this deal done. And the reality is, if you're Brandon Ayuk, you might say, like, why would I go there? I'll get thrown the ball even less. You're just going to run the ball all day.
But you're going to be the
number one.
The difference is you are the show of the passing offense.
Should Baltimore be on this? Probably not, right? They added Zay Flowers in the first round. Rashad Bateman's a first rounder.
No, they should. But like, Bateman, come on. Like, they should. He's fine. They shouldn't be close to Ayuk. I don't know what their money situation is. They might be similar to the Bills because they lost a lot of pieces this offseason. But if Baltimore could afford it, no, they should be in on that, right?
New England makes a ton of sense.
New England makes the most sense.
They drafted some rookies that look pretty good or whatever. We like them.
You know what would be funny? They're not going to do it because it's in the NFC and it might be one of their rivals. Wouldn't it be amazing after everyone for 6 months went all in on this Green Bay blueprint?
It'd be amazing.
If they just decided, yeah, we'll give you Jaden Reed in a pick for Brandon Ayuk. And the Packers just shut everybody up about, oh, it's better to have 4 guys that are pretty good than 1 number one. And they just go and trade one of their pretty good guys. And like, oh, yeah, we're just going to go get a number one receiver.
But there's one spot that definitely, if you're the Niners, you're like, we're not going to trade Green Bay.
Yeah, you're not trading to Green Bay. You're not trading to Green Bay.
Sal on the other side, we'll get the update from yesterday's practice. We had an injury, Andy Isabella. Lots to update. Kyir Elam continues to work in with the ones. And the question about who's calling defensive plays. First game comes up Saturday, 1 o'clock.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Against the Bears, will we have an answer by then? And what does Sal make of all of the leanings that it's starting to look like it's Bobby Babich that will be calling plays? I'm seeing the speculation. We'll see if Sal throws a wet blanket on that or tends to agree that it looks like it's leaning Babich's way on calling plays. Sal joins us next here on WGR.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio.
On WGR.
He's in studio. What's up, Sal?
I mean, isn't our studio kind of at Fisher anyway? We've been in studio a lot together lately, right? But yeah, we're back here. It's a day off. Not for us. I'll be on Extra Points show. But yeah, came in and figured I'd join you guys in here today so we could see each other's smiling faces and talk about the Bills.
Well, good. We'll do it again tomorrow from Fisher, too. We're back at training camp at St. John Fisher tomorrow. So, all right, Sal, yesterday's practice, Andy Isabella carted off, injured.
Yeah.
And there was a dust-up afterwards. Was there a belief that the hit was not the kind of hit you want at training camp?
I would say if you're an offensive player, certainly that's what the thought is, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, from my perspective, so here's what happened. Andy Isabella caught the ball right around the hash, maybe in the slot. As he caught it flat-footed, he turned inside. Deshaun Williams was coming from his defensive tackle spot, flying to the hook curl zone just to get to where the ball is. From my perspective, I don't know if Deshaun Williams could have slowed up at that moment when Andy turned into him. You don't want to hit him. Maybe you could make an argument that, well, you shouldn't be making a beeline towards him, but I think he's just kind of doing his job to get there. But he's flying, and he's a big dude, right? And Andy's not a big dude. So as Isabella turned inside, think of it this way. He's turning left. Deshaun Williams hits him, so his body goes back right as his legs are under him. So that's what happened. He got twisted up. He's down. Alec Anderson, who never met a dust-up he didn't like because he's a tough dude and he's a protector. That's what he is, right? He immediately went over, said something. Bronson Dean got involved. They pushed each other. Then Smoot gets involved. He's down. Everybody's kind of getting involved a little bit. In the meantime, Andy Isabella's laying on the ground. Trainers are coming out talking to him. Josh Allen got involved. I mean, Josh was mad. Yeah. He was heated. Yeah. He was upset. And I saw him talking with Bobby Babich. It looked like they were maybe either trying to calm the waters or, hey, debating what's going on. It wasn't like they were going at it or anything. But he was, Josh, you could tell, was visibly upset at what was happening. And he was saying some things. But this is what happens at training camp sometimes. In the meantime, Isabella, then they disperse. Everybody goes back to the huddle. Isabella walks off with trainers. They sit him down on the sidelines, looked at him for quite a while. He got up, got put on a cart, left on a cart. Here's the good news, I think, encouraging news. Yesterday afternoon, Matt Bove texted me while I was on with Shope and Bulldog with Mike and Nate, Chris and Nate, excuse me, and said he had seen Isabella after practice walking with his leg wrapped, but he was walking.
Okay.
So that's good news. Now, back to your point of, is it the kind of hit that you don't want in training camp? No doubt. It's a defender running full speed. You don't want to hit anybody, but I don't know what he could have done in that situation. And if you're an offensive player, you're going to get mad. And it's also to the point of, what do we say every year? It's time to hit somebody else. They've been hitting each other for 3 weeks.
Yeah, and this guy, 2.5 weeks. It might be just poor coincidence that the collision was between players that are 100 pounds apart.
100%. Yeah. Right.
Was Isabella, what was his camp like before the injury yesterday? Because last year, Sal, I got into him because he looked really good and fast. And this year, I almost forget that he's even still out there competing for a spot, despite the fact, he dressed in the playoff game against Pittsburgh. He wasn't playing a lot, but he was on the team all last year, at least on the practice squad.
I feel like he has he's a long shot at wide receiver. I do think there's a possibility he could sneak in as a return man, but I think you might have to keep an extra wide receiver to do that. To me, Daquan Hardy has a legitimate shot to be the return man, and you could actually use him on defense, right? He's made some plays. He's flashed. Isabella would have to be, we're going to keep him as a return man, and that means we have to keep an extra guy on the roster. Even Hardy could be like that, I guess. I don't see Isabella getting the kind of run I would think. I'd say, sit here and go, you know what? Like, he's making some moves here. Like, Tyrell Shavers has clearly passed him on whatever depth chart, I think, by the reps. Now, the question is, what is happening with Chase Claypool and the injury? What's happening with MVS with inconsistencies and not necessarily getting that the same amount of opportunities as you would think, although he's out there sometimes. Like, there are guys.
Even Hamler's getting more opportunities than Isabella, right?
And that's a good point, because Hamler's also a return man.
Yeah.
Hamler, you know, it might come down to maybe they do keep either Isabella or Hamler for the return ability. And, you know, we'll see what happens with Hardy, because he is a rookie, and I don't know.
All right. We'll get our first look at the Bills kickoff return, their plans for that Saturday at the stadium against the Chicago Bears. Are we closing in on finding out playing time for anybody for some of the starters, Sal? Is that something we learn tomorrow, maybe?
I think Sean speaks on Thursday, so I would think Thursday is the day we're going to learn that.
Okay.
Because they won't, I don't think they'll reveal anything until he, nobody will until he talks. And then even then, you know, we don't know exactly, but it could go any way here. I mean, if you go back the last few years, there's been times where they did not put these guys in at all. There's been times where it's been one game for like a full half plus another drive or two. I don't know. Remember, there's only three preseason games, and then the fourth week is gone. So you have 2 weeks between your last game and your first regular season game. Sean has always said every team is different, every reason is different, every year is different for that. I wonder if they need to have these guys get some chemistry in games because of the new faces. Mm-hmm. That might be a reason why he says, we got to have Josh play and the first team offense play with these wide receivers, because they have to get on the same page. That might be a reason, and I know fans hate it, just put Josh in bubble wrap. I get it. I understand that. But just from Sean McDermott's perspective, I wouldn't be stunned if he said, we got to get some time with these guys because they're kind of all new together.
Yeah. Speaking of, like, Sean reveals things and people don't say anything until then, Bobby Babbage will be up in the booth. We learned that. And I've seen speculation that, like, we're trying to guess who's going to call plays defensively. And I think it was Bove yesterday. He's of the belief that maybe it will be Bobby Babbage. Do you get a...
I've thought it was Bobby Babbage for months. Okay. I've been saying for months I think it's Bobby Babbage. My clue has been, I know for sure that he could have gotten a defensive coordinator job somewhere else. He came back to Buffalo. Now, there's no guarantee that Sean McDermott said, well, you come back, I'll have you call plays. But to me, that's an indication that why would he come back? Maybe the other team didn't offer him either. Maybe the Giants or the Dolphins or the Packers, whoever it is, like, maybe they didn't offer him play calling duties. But for him to come back to Buffalo seems to me like there's got to be even more of a reason if he could have gone somewhere else. I don't know. Maybe nobody was offering play calling duties. It just feels to me like, and it has felt to me for months, that Bobby Babbage will be the play caller. Plus, he said yesterday, there are these call periods. Sometimes you have segments where there's no, like, defensive play calls coming in. You're just kind of lining up and going through, you know, natural kind of progressions and reads. There's other times where the offense is calling plays, the defense is calling plays. And in those call periods, Babbage said he's been asking Sean to have more of them, more time where he's calling plays. And I wonder if that's because he wants to even make sure he's comfortable. We don't know yet. I would say this. Also, to me, him saying he's up in the box is an indication, but I think he was in the box last year.
Yeah.
And he didn't call plays, but he wasn't a coordinator last year. Right? So, I've always felt it'd be Bobby Babbage. I don't know. I mean, Sean could come out on Thursday and say, I'm calling plays. I've just always felt it was Bobby Babbage going ever since he returned and they named him the defensive coordinator.
When we watched the changeover from Frazier to McDermott, we were looking for what the Bills felt they needed to be, how they wanted to be different. We thought a little bit more aggressive was an idea of McDermott rather than Leslie Frazier. If it's Babbage, sells her any clue about how he might be a little different? They're calling the same defense. They're on the same team. When you're calling the plays, you might have tendencies. And I don't know if we have any idea yet what Babbage's are. Do you?
I don't. Let's be clear. He's still running the Sean McDermott philosophy of defense, I think. That would be clear. He'd have some ideas, but they've been together 7 years. Is their philosophy going to be a lot different? You always take things, as Bobby said, you always take things from different things you see, and you take things out that you see, and you kind of, you know, mesh all that together. he's going to run the basic Bills defense that Sean McDermott and Leslie Frazier have run for the last, you know, 7 years. He's been a part of it. He was the safeties coach. And while he was a safeties coach, Micah Hyde and Jordan Poirier became all pros. He became a linebackers coach. While he was a linebackers coach, Matt Milano became an all pro. Tremaine Edmonds became the highest paid unrestricted free agent linebacker in the league. Terrell Bernard had an ascension. Whatever his philosophy is at his positions has worked. So I think that him and Sean working together probably have a very long trust with each other. Let's also remember, his dad was a longtime defensive coach, was a defensive coordinator on a team that went to a Super Bowl in the Chicago Bears, Coach Brian Urlacher. Like, the pedigree that Bobby Babbage brings to the defensive coordinator spot, it's not your normal guy who's just getting the job for the first time. I think that he understands what his role is. He's been here. He knows what his players can do. This is not a guy that's just walking in cold, learning everything. Philosophically, Jeremy, I would imagine he'd be creative and aggressive, but I think Sean was last year to a point where people were upset in the end of games he got, like the Denver game, for example, and the all-out blitz. Like, one of the things that is just not true that people say is how conservative McDermott has been on defense or conservative play calling. That wasn't the case last year. They were more aggressive last year, and it hurt them a couple times. There's no doubt. But they blitzed in overtime. Denver, they blitzed. And yeah. I'm for right or wrong, those situations didn't work out. But it's just not true that they've been conservative, and they were last year.
Well, in coverage stuff, there was also more aggression too that some have broke down, and they kind of had to at points too, right? Because their four-man pass rush wasn't what it was when Vaughn was healthy,
right?
For instance,
yes,
the year before that.
It helped, by the way, when you get a guy like Rasul Douglas who understands scheme in front of him and blitzing and hot reads and can step in front of passes.
Yeah,
that helps a lot when you get a guy like that. He was the perfect fit if you want to mesh some of that aggressiveness up front.
Yeah, you mentioned Douglas. Kyrie Elam continuing to get first team reps at corner. Like, I'm still trying to figure out, say, like, to what end is him, like, what result are we going to end up with if he continues to have this camp where he's popping? And sure, there are still mistakes, but it's still hard for me to see Douglas or Benford not being on the field. But I don't know, are we reaching a point where Elam's going to force them into a rotation or something?
I wouldn't go that far yet. I think there's still a ways to go here. There's three preseason games. I think this is just healthy for everyone. Healthy. It's healthy for Christian Benford that Kyer Elam is having a nice enough camp to push him and say, you just don't have this job on lockdown. It's healthy for Rasul Douglas to know that you have both these guys over there. And yes, I'm a veteran here. And, you know, we all are kind of pushing each other here. And it's great for Kyer Elam to be in this spot where he continues to grow and he continues to push. I still think there's a longer shot for Kyer Elam to become a starter or even a regular rotation player, but it's certainly not out of the question. They've done this before. They had Levi Wallace and Kevin Johnson and other guys who've kind of, Dane Jackson, they've rotated series, every other series. Let's also remember, Christian Benford, he's been injured his first 2 years a few times. This is good for Kyer Elam to continue to get this opportunity because if Christian Benford or anyone has some sort of injury. I mean, Rasul Douglas got hurt at the end of last year in the playoffs. That happens. You have a guy. So to answer your question, Joe, I still think it would be a long shot for Elam to be the starter. It's possible they could do some sort of rotation. But man, if he can just be that third corner they can rely on, I think it's a win right now at this point.
Sal Capaccio in studio, chat and training camp. The Bills off today, back at Fisher tomorrow. Finally, Sal, what do you make of all this Ayuk stuff, as he might go to the Patriots, maybe the Browns? The Steelers are maybe out of this thing now. We'll see if things get moving. But the report today from Mike Reese of ESPN is that the Niners are accepting trade offers.
I say, okay, trade him to the Patriots. It doesn't really change anything I feel about them. You know, I mean, if you're the Patriots, you understand you want to give your rookie quarterback a really nice wide receiver to pair him with and to work with, and that would be great. Does not really change the equation for me on them. Browns are interesting. They actually have, to me, they have a pretty good receiving core already, right? Like, you add him in, like, at some point, okay, you got Amari Cooper situation, right? You got him. Running through the Browns, guys
Jerry
they have.
Jerry Jeudy, Elijah Moore,
right?
David
Njoku. I mean, think
Njoku
about this. Like, Well, I mean, where are all the footballs going? This is interesting for me.
I don't know if you saw the Matt Maiocco report from NBC Bay Area.
Yes.
This is a trend with all the rumored packages. A couple months ago, it was the Jaguars, right? That it would be Zay Jones and a first-round pick. And then New England, the report from Maiocco was that Kendrick Bourne would be going back. He wrote in his story that negotiations between the Niners and the Browns would have Cooper going back to San Francisco. So, that would clear out the spot.
Yep.
That also, we were just thinking about it, Sal, like, if that's the trend here and the Niners are intent on, you got to give us a receiver back in a deal here, like, that's going to, like, that might be why Pittsburgh can't match, because they really only have Pickens.
That's right. I mean, they already traded Deontay Johnson.
Yeah, so it's interesting, like, where he'll end up. And the Niners have kind of maybe resigned themselves to, okay, this is actually going to happen now.
And then there's two parts to this, which are you got to come up with the compensation, and then what the latest is, what does the contract look like? And maybe that's been the barrier to get some of these deals done.
Right.
That's why to me, guys, the Bills were never like in something like this. You got to give the you got to give the draft compensation or the trade compensation. I just don't feel, every time I've been asked about Brandon Ayuk to the Bills, my answer is, I don't think Brandon Bean wants to play in the $25 million a year range for a wide receiver right now. He just doesn't want to do that. Maybe next year, maybe in the offseason when they have a little more. Like, right now they're kind of resetting that cap, and they went out, what did they do? They got Curtis Samuel for $8 million a year? Like, that's what they like to do right now.
Yeah, the thing we just kicked around, which was, if the Niners had said back in March, okay, offers, let's have them. Maybe the Bills start their offseason talking about this, but the fact that nothing happened, nothing moved, like, all right, we're going to go ahead and do our thing.
Yeah.
And it's just, we had an offseason. We weren't going to wait around for this one idea to be the only plan. I mean, when this whole thing started with Ayuk, Diggs had not been cut yet. So there's a report about the Jaguars. Yeah, sorry, traded.
Yeah.
There's a report about the Jaguars on Ayuk, and it just seems to me that maybe they would have been interested and made a phone call way back then, but now we had an offseason. We'll get another receiver next year, if in fact they still feel like they need to chase it at that point.
Right. The compensation and the contract together just make it really hard, especially in a team in a year where you're kind of resetting a little bit there, and you're kind of restocking, and you're kind of, yeah, resetting your financials is what I mean. And the Bills already have a lot of dead money, right, because they've had to shed a lot of this stuff. And part of the reason is they don't want to, I think, have these big contracts they're paying to a guy like Stephon Diggs, part of the reason why he's gone. I just can't see them doing that right now for a guy like Brandon Ayuk. Now, trade deadline comes, you're in a position where you have to strike, you're in it again, you're vying for a division, a conference. It's a prorated rest of the year contract. I think all bets are off then. I think then you make a deal that you feel might get you to where you need to go. Mm-hmm. I just don't think that they're interested in doing that at this time.
Sal Capaccio, thank you, sir.
You got it.
What's coming up, Extra Point Show?
We're going to have, you know what? We're going to have Hammer on to talk about this weekend's weather and what happened yesterday.
Tornado.
What happened yesterday. And we're going to talk about that. But also because I'll be at practice this week, it'll be a good time to kind of look at this weekend for the weather coming up, the very first, you know, preseason game. He's going to join us. Also going to have Mark Schmidt on, the head coach of St. Bonaventure University. They have the Coaches versus Cancer Golf Tournament coming up, and I'm going to be a part of that, and I'm seeing for that in a couple weeks. But we're just going to let everybody know like where they can go to for the auctions and things like that. And we're going to kind of like examine some of the I want to go through some of the, we haven't really talked about the rookies and how they're doing. Keon Coleman. I think Daquan Hardy, Ray Davis, there's some stuff going on there that I think that we can kind of look at and see where they fit. Javon Solomon, right? I mean, there's guys here where, what do you do at the back end of this roster with some of these guys and how you have to play this? So I want to talk about that today, too.
Very good. That's coming up at 10 o'clock. Sal's got the Extra Point Show, the Northbound Automotive Extra Point Show. Jeremy and Joe, you want to give us a call? You can on Ayuk, on anything Bills, for that matter, or NFL. We'll talk with Charles McDonald of Yahoo Sports. He does the Football 301 podcast with Nate Tice and Matt Harmon, new podcast that just launched with three bright guys. Would recommend it quite a bit. Charles McDonald coming up 9:30 from Yahoo. Go to WGR550.com to enter for the Friday foursome. That's right. You can enter and win a foursome. We announced a lucky winner on Friday's experience one of the golf courses, one of the finer golf courses in Western New York. It's Seneca Hickory Stick, Lockport Country Club, Diamond Hawk Golf Course, Clover Bank Country Club. Plus, you get a box of Encore golf balls to spray around those courses if you're going to lose them. $25 gift certificate to Encore Golf, plus a one-year basic membership to Club Encore. Enter now at WGR550.com for your chance to win. Brought to you by Labatt, Pristine Refreshing Pilsner. Please enjoy responsibly. Encore Golf, you just became a better golfer. Must be 21 plus to enter.
Filippone just tweeted, the Steelers have not been informed by the 49ers that they're out on Brandon Ayuk.
Listen, here's how it's going to go. Filippone also tweeted that it was, the deal is at the goal line last night. That the Ayuk to the what Steelers deal? Is at the goal line.
Oh, did he?
Yeah. All I'm telling you is expect Mike Tomlin to punt. Always.
Oh, yeah.
Always expect him to punt. If they get beaten out on this deal...
You got you call Burrow fancy Kirk Cousins. I'm going to start calling Tomlin fancy Doug Marrone.
Wow. All right.
Doug Marrone 1-0 against Mike Tomlin in playoff games. Anyways.
True. Next hour, Charles McDonald of Yahoo Sports. Jim Harbaugh making some waves by denying his involvement in the sign-stealing. Paul Feinbaum went scorched earth on him. We'll play a clip of that when we come back. Harbaugh catching it from Feinbaum, catching it from Mike Greenberg as well. Character, you know? Character matters. That's what football says.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame.
Two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly, beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Which was, if the Niners had said back in March, okay, offers, let's have them. Maybe the Bills start their offseason talking about this, but the fact that nothing happened, nothing moved, like, all right, we're going to go ahead and do our thing.
Yeah.
And it's just, we had an offseason. We weren't going to wait around for this one idea to be the only plan. I mean, when this whole thing started with Ayuk, Diggs had not been cut yet. So... There's a report about the
traded,
the Jaguar. Yeah, sorry, traded.
Yeah.
There's a report about the Jaguars on Ayuk, and it just seems to me that maybe they would have been interested and made a phone call way back then, but now we had an offseason. We'll get another receiver next year, if in fact they still feel like they need to chase it at that point.
Right. The compensation and the contract together just make it really hard, especially in a team in a year where you're kind of resetting a little bit there and you're kind of restocking and you're kind of Yeah, resetting your financials is what I mean. And the Bills already have a lot of dead money, right? Because they've had to shed a lot of this stuff. And part of the reason is they don't want to, I think, have these big contracts they're paying to a guy like Stephon Diggs, part of the reason why he's gone. I just can't see them doing that right now for a guy like Brandon Ayuk. Now, trade deadline comes. You're in a position where you have to strike. You're in it again. You're buying for a division, a conference. It's a prorated rest of the year contract. I think all bets are off then. I think then you make a deal that you feel might get you to where you need to go. Mm-hmm. I just don't think that they're interested in doing that at this time.
Sal Capaccio, thank you, sir.
You got
it. What's coming up, Extra Point Show?
We're going to have, you know what? We're going to have Hammer on to talk about this weekend's weather and what happened yesterday.
Tornadoes.
What happened yesterday. And we're going to talk about that. But also because I'll be at practice this week, it'll be a good time to kind of look at this weekend for the weather coming up, the very first preseason game. He's going to join us. Also going to have Mark Schmidt on, the head coach of St. Bonaventure University. They have the Coaches versus Cancer Golf Tournament coming up. And I'm going to be a part of that, and I'm seeing for that in a couple weeks. But we're just going to let everybody know like where they can go to for the auctions and things like that. And we're going to kind of examine some of the I want to go through some of the – we haven't really talked about the rookies and how they're doing. Keon Coleman. I think Daquan Hardy, Ray Davis. There's some stuff going on there that I think that we can kind of look at and see where they fit. Javon Solomon, right? I mean, there's guys here where – what do you do at the back end of this roster with some of these guys and how you have to play this? So I want to talk about that today, too.
Very good. That's coming up at 10 o'clock. Sal's got the Extra Point Show, the Northdown Automotive Extra Point Show. Jeremy and Joe, you want to give us a call? You can on Ayuk, on anything Bills, for that matter, or NFL. We'll talk with Charles McDonald of Yahoo Sports. He does the Football 301 podcast with Nate Tice and Matt Harmon, new podcast that just launched with three bright guys. Would recommend it quite a bit. Charles McDonald coming up 9:30 from Yahoo. Go to WGR550.com to enter for the Friday foursome. That's right. You can enter and win a foursome. We announced a lucky winner on Friday's experience. One of the golf courses, one of the finer golf courses in Western New York. It's Seneca Hickory Stick, Lockport Country Club, Diamond Hawk Golf Course, Clover Bank Country Club. Plus, you get a box of Encore golf balls to spray around those courses if you're going to lose them. $25 gift certificate to Encore Golf, plus a one-year basic membership to Club Encore. Enter now at WGR550.com for your chance to win. Brought to you by Labatt, Pristine Refreshing Pilsner. Please enjoy responsibly. Encore Golf, you just became a better golfer. Must be 21 plus to enter.
Filippone just tweeted, the Steelers have not been informed by the 49ers that they're out on Brandon Ayuk.
Listen, here's how it's going to go. Filippone also tweeted that the deal is at the goal line last night. That the Ayuk to the what Steelers deal? Is at the goal line.
Oh, did he?
Yeah. All I'm telling you is expect Mike Tomlin to punt. Always.
Oh, yeah.
Always expect him to punt. If they get beaten out on this deal...
You call Burrow fancy Kirk Cousins. I'm going to start calling Tomlin fancy Doug Marrone.
Wow. All right.
Doug Marrone 1-0 against Mike Tomlin in playoff games. Anyways.
True. Next hour, Charles McDonald of Yahoo Sports. Jim Harbaugh making some waves by denying his involvement in the sign-stealing. Paul Feinbaum went scorched earth on him. We'll play a clip of that when we come back. Harbaugh catching it from Feinbaum, catching it from Mike Greenberg as well. Character, you know? Character matters. That's what football says.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.